Thank you for listening to Northville Christian's weekly podcast. We pray this message will help you to lead the way, learn the truth, and live the life.
3 weeks ago, we talked about taking a stand for Christ. One of the things you need to know in this walk with the Lord, I'm not talking about some God. I'm talking about God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for us. And we put our faith in him. We believe in him. And then we confess him as Lord of our lives. The Bible says we're saved. It's that simple. You say, well, what's so simple about that? Well, he did all the work. All I have to do is believe it. Then you get into our world and you will find religion after religion making up things that you have to work. You have to do different things. And I'll tell you something right now. Whenever you attach the name of Jesus to your belief, you are drawing a line in the sand. Because the Bible says you can only confess Jesus is Lord by his Spirit. So when we begin to confess Jesus, I'm telling you, we draw a line where the world. Because the world does not like the name of Jesus. They just don't like it. But why? Because it brings conviction upon their lives. Because why? The laws of God are written upon the heart. That's why. And all of a sudden, it just pierces. Everybody just wants to be tolerant. Everybody just wants to be, good, grace, love, all that. And that's all true and wonderful. But there's a place where I say, no longer to the world, and it's all about God. And it's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? So, we talked about taking a stand for Jesus Christ. Then the next week, we talked about getting into Bible reading and prayer. One of the things as we grow in our lives, and it's not that Bible reading and prayer alone, they're tools to get to know God better. His ways of communicating. So, these are disciplines we need to work into our lives. You say, well, I read the Bible and I pray, I don't get a whole lot out of it. Well, you just keep doing it. You just keep seeking the Lord. You keep praying. And I guarantee you, with the right heart, God will hear you. He'll answer because he said he would. Then last week, it was a tough message to where our culture of our world is that we need to get away from the old sinful life. There's a lot of people that come to know Christ, but they don't want to let go of the past. Well, I want you to know, according to Jesus, according to his word, that your past is forgotten, but you need to move on past it too. We need to renounce sin. We need to get away from it. We flirt too much with the world. And the Bible tells even the appearance of evil, run from it. Run from it, folks. Don't let it capture you. Its snares are a lot bigger than you think. And so I talked to us about that. This week, I'm going to talk to you about the next three chapters, which is witnessing, the Holy Spirit in filling, and the prayer language that the Lord gives us. So I'm going to take those three and put them into one message this morning. Who did not receive a book? My ushers are ready. Just raise your hand and they'll be glad to get you a book. Just keep it up for a moment. Now, I'm not going through the book and it'd be hard to follow me chapter by chapter. But I want you to have the book. Read it. You can bring it each week. Hey, if you read through this while I'm preaching, I'm okay with that, believe it or not. I really am. I think because we just come and we need to give ourselves to the Lord. But anyway, so chapters 7, 8, and 9 this morning. I believe that God wants us to tell others about his message. I believe that he has called us to tell others. I believe also, though, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be effective in doing this. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Acts chapter 1. Amen. I may have to do one of the classes so you understand why people do that, because there was an Old Testament story, but when they hadn't had the Word of God for a long time, and then they began to open that Word, and life began to pour out, man, the people began to shout. This is life-giving to us, amen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Heavenly Father, your word is anointed. So Lord, now take that word and let our ears have an anointing to hear it. And Lord, to not just hear it, but then act upon it. And believe you for all that you have for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to take a moment. I have friends with me from Kalamazoo, the Yurick family, and as well as some Bright Ups, and they brought a friend as well. And it's just good to have you. Would you mind? I don't know. Would you mind standing? I don't want to embarrass you, but let me embarrass you. And amen. See, I like this because, see, they're in church. No, they're going to go to the game today. That's why they're here. But you know what? They're not going to miss being in the presence of God. And also this morning in the first service, we had another family from Kalamazoo join us, the Stone family, and they went to the ball game too, but they came to first service. So, hey, we're here for people passing through. Amen? Whatever it takes. So anyway, one night there was a wife that found her husband standing over their infant's crib. As she watched him looking down at their very first baby, she saw on his face a mixture of emotions. Disbelief, doubt, delight, amazement, enchantment, skepticism. Touched by this unusual display and deep emotions it aroused, with her eyes glistening, she slipped her arm around her husband. "A pity for your thoughts," she said. "It's amazing," he replied. "I just can't see how anybody can make a crib for only $46.50. In that crib lay one of the greatest miracles of God's creation, a little baby. But all the father saw was the crib. He did not see what laid within. Many times people look upon God's handiwork and only see the outer manifestations. They never see the miracle that lays within. Whether it be the miracle of a new birth of a baby or a miracle of a birth of a new Christian. There are many who only see the outside framework and they miss the miracle happening within. Acts 2:38 tells us something very exceptional that lies within each Christian. When we obey Jesus by repenting of our sins, following through with water baptism, we have a promise that we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it, Acts 2:38. Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In fact, in Ephesians, we're told that God's Holy Spirit is a mark of God's ownership on our life. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." There are many people that accept the idea that God's Holy Spirit can live within us, but they don't think the Holy Spirit does very much for us. Or they don't understand what the Holy Spirit's purpose is. And thus they miss out on the miracle inside. That's why God desires for us to know and to be filled with His Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7, Jesus tells His disciples, "But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor," and that word there, the Holy Spirit, the word, Greek word is paraclete. It's translated the helper or the counselor. He says, "The counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." Jesus was saying here that when he leaves or when he goes away, he would send his Spirit in his place. The Spirit was to be Jesus' connection to his power within us. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God does many things in us. It helps us in our prayers. It helps us to understand the deep things of God. Helps guide us and teach us. It empowers us. But probably the most intriguing thing that the Holy Spirit is sent to do is in Acts 1:8 that we read. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my, say it, witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice the text says that first they would receive the Holy Spirit and then they would be his witnesses. The Holy Spirit came to give them power to be witnesses. Now, wait a minute. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. I mean, the disciples have been with Jesus his entire ministry. They had been trained by him. They sat at his feet. They absorbed his teachings. In fact, they had already gone out and were teaching in the surrounding cities about the kingdom of God is at hand. But Acts 1:8 implies that they would become witnesses after they received the Holy Spirit. So why should they have to wait? Why not just start witnessing right now and there? Well, they could have, but they would have lacked the power to be an effective witness. In other words, they would have begun witnessing without the Holy Spirit, and they wouldn't have had the same power. Let me take a moment and try to illustrate it. Come on up, Pastor Ed. A handsaw. I can take the handsaw, and it's a great tool, and I can work. I can try to work. And I'm not going to be able to do that, but there it is. And you can saw with it, but that is a lot of work. So I need a helper, right? And this should go really well. The problem is I need a helper, but sometimes we don't work well together. That's a big saw, buddy. But let me tell you how the Holy Spirit helps us. You know, this is all good and dandy, but let's get the Holy Spirit out. I'm talking about the difference in having power. Can I help you get a clue here what I'm talking about? There's a big difference in trying to do it by ourselves and saying, Lord, send your power. And they said they were endued with I like it. Crank something up within me. You might get the job done by yourself, but it may take a long time. But when the Holy Spirit is a part of our lives, it makes it a lot simpler. It's my belief that part of our frustration in witnessing comes from not understanding the pivotal role that the Holy Spirit plays in helping us share our faith. Jesus says in John 16, I'll read it again, verse 7, but I tell you the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Pause for a moment. Where is Jesus? He's with God. He's at God's right hand side. And if he said, I'll go away and I will sin, is he faithful to his word or not? When he comes, Jesus says, he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. The New American Standard Translation does this verse very, very well in its translation. In fact, it says, it is for your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage to receive the Holy Spirit. One of the primary jobs for God's Spirit in this world is convicting people of their sin. In other words, you and I don't have to convict people. Amen. We don't have to work on changing their hearts. That is the Holy Spirit's job. According to Acts 1:8, we are witnesses. Let me help illustrate it for a moment. In a courtroom, and I'm just going to grab some people. I'll embarrass my pastors. It's the best way. Pastor Ed, Pastor Jason, Pastor Mark, Matt. I'm going to also need Alex. Oh, Pastor Cody. Alex preached a couple weeks ago, so he's become my preacher. Your clergy now for a moment. Now, so here we have Pastor Cody. I just because of who you are, we'll put you right smack dab right here. First of all, we have a judge. He sits behind the bench. Okay. But then we have the prosecutor. Amen. Then we have a defendant. Okay. Then we have, I'm sorry, which one I call you? Oh, well, you are the bad guy. Right? Let me get that right. Yeah, you're the defendant. Wait a minute, you're over here with him then. He's prosecuting, and you are the defense attorney. Okay? So here we have a courtroom. Now, the key is we are witnesses. The witness here does what? You don't know what the witness does. The witness witnesses. He testifies. Now, what's beautiful about this, the witness does not convict the defendant. The witness does not declare the verdict or give the sentence. That is the judge. The others weren't, but the witness does nothing more than... Got it. All right, thanks. That's it. That was quick. They do nothing more. Give them a hand. I love it. The witness does nothing more than to do the best to give an honest, true testimony because they realize that the verdict, listen, the verdict hinges on their witness. But it is their job to witness. Convicting people of sin and the need to live right and to reveal the closeness of the judgment is the Spirit's job, not ours. That does not mean our witnessing or our testimony isn't important. In fact, it is. Romans 10, verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And how, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Notice what it's saying. Unless someone preaches or someone witnesses, people cannot hear the gospel. If they do not hear, they cannot believe. If they don't believe, they can't call. And if they don't call, they won't be saved. The salvation of people we care about hinges on our faithful witness. God loves this so much, He calls the feet of those who witness beautiful. If I slipped off my shoes and socks and you saw my feet, my kids look at my feet and they go, Dad, those are ugly feet. I got ugly feet. My toenails are, you know. But when I go out and I tell people God loves them, God says, man, that is beautiful. Paul realized how much he needed God's Spirit to be successful. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 says, I came to you in weakness and fear with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Zechariah Chapter 4, 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So it is the Holy Spirit we need in our lives to be more effective in serving as His witness. There's some other things that the Holy Spirit can help us with in sharing our faith. He can guide us to the people we should talk to. In Acts chapter 16, in our study of Acts, we learned the lesson that Paul was kept, it says, by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. But later, Paul has a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. The story reminds us that it's God's Spirit that guided Paul and his companions to a place where their witnessing would be most effective. I believe that God's Spirit could give us the opportunities to talk to others if we seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. Another thing the Spirit can do in our lives is give us boldness in our witnessing. The Holy Spirit can make us bold in any situation. In Acts chapter 4, we're told of Peter and John. They just were arrested. They were beaten. They were released. And then they were severely warned, never preach about Jesus again publicly. And they returned to meet with the church. And the church began to pray. In Acts 4, 29, we have that prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Likewise for our lives, if we will let Him, the Holy Spirit will not only give us boldness, but He will guide us to overcome any obstacle that might be in our way. So we are called to be witnesses of the things that God has done in our lives. One of the things you need to realize is somebody say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to witness. All you have to do is tell of the goodness of the Lord in your life. You have to compare it to somebody else's. It's about you and what God is doing in you. So we need to invite the Spirit into our lives so that we can be filled with the fullness of God to His desire. What we call this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when asking the Holy Spirit to baptize us or to come into our life, there is an initial physical evidence that not only in the Word, but we see throughout history that comes with that. It's a prayer language that God gives when we yield our lives to Him. So how do we know how to witness or who to witness to? Or how do we get to know the mind of God? Go back to Jesus' statement in Mark 13, 11. He says, whenever you're arrested or you're brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. God needs His people listening to the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up to speak after being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's review for a moment. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 14, Peter begins to preach. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Once you are filled with the Holy Spirit, with that evidence of speaking in tongues or speaking in another language, you need to understand speaking in tongues. It can be an earthly language or it can be a heavenly language. It is a God language. God is not restricted by syllables and sounds. In fact, the Bible says he can prophesy on an instrument. And if God could communicate through strings and vibrations, then he can use the vibrations of your voice and syllables to communicate the things of God. Jack Hayford, was a story where he was sitting on a plane with a gentleman, and he noticed that he was an American Indian. And the Lord told him, I want you to talk to him. I want you to just begin to speak to him in tongues. Sure. Jack Hafer says at first, yeah, he was taken back. But he wanted to be obedient to the Lord, so he turned to the man and began to speak in tongues. He finished, and the man looked at him and said, the Indian man said, how in the world did you know my native language? And Jack said, I didn't even know what I was saying. Just the God wanted me to talk to you. He said, and Jack began to ask, what did I say? He said, you began to tell me about the great almighty God who loves me, who's watching over me. You see, God can use known languages, but he'll also use unknown. There are tongues of angels. There are all kinds of tongues. And I don't want you to ever get stuck saying, I want to repeat syllables, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that. I want you just to flow in God. There's a lot of people that stammer, what we call stammering, and can't seem to break through in syllables. That may be even a form of tongues. I don't know. It's that we release and we allow God to begin to flow in us and pour out of us. Why? So he can use us. But we get so restrictive and say, God, if I don't understand the language, or God, if it doesn't make sense to me. If you never begin to operate in that, God will never be able to use you in a powerful way because you'll never be ready. We are told in the Pentecostal evangel, back in the Iraqi war, there was some Iraqis coming up, and our military soldiers were there. One of them was one of our, from an Assembly of God church, and he writes and relates the story that they came up and they began to speak their language, and of course they didn't know their language. But all of a sudden he said, I began to understand it. The Lord opened his ears, and he knew what they were asking and what they wanted, and immediately at that point the Lord gave him a language to speak back to them. God can use us if we are willing, but if we close him out and we say, Lord, I don't understand the unknown, you need to understand God is supernatural. He is not natural. He does not work in our natural realm the way we want him. We want to box him in and say, God, if you can work within these parameters, do so. But God says, by the way, I fill the entire universe. There are no parameters for me. Just take a look tonight up into the sky and just for a moment think about his omnipresence, that he is everywhere. God wants to use us. He wants this. And you say, well, Pastor, why are you so heavy about this prayer language thing? Because it is part of the biblical power that God wants to display in our lives. In the 1900s, early on, there were some college students. They were in Bible college, and they were desiring, saying, we want to know more about God. And they came across this scripture. As they kept going through it, it kept happening. I already read over in Acts 19, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. This is multiple years past the day of Pentecost. And they said, God, if this is for today, then we are open and we're willing. And all of a sudden, God moved into that room and filled them all with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. Well, we call that Pentecost today, the Pentecostal movement that began. But we didn't make it up. This is a God thing. We just try our best to label it. And people go, you're Pentecostal? Pentecost was nothing more than a Jewish feast, but it was on the day of Pentecost that God decided to move into an upper room and fill his people with power, right? Otherwise, I'm doing it all by myself, and I have no power. It runs out. How many of you have ever struggled in praying? How many have ever struggled to stay focused while you're praying? How many have ever been confused about what to pray for? We need an experience that will help us break through and revolutionize our prayer lives. I want you to know what the answer is today. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to become your prayer partner. Oh, everybody wants a prayer partner today. In fact, you can pay money to be somebody's prayer partner. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit wants to be your prayer partner first and foremost. The Holy Spirit not only has the solution to our prayer struggles, he is literally a prayer partner who connects us with God's promises and makes them come to pass. The prayer partner relationship we're meant to have with the Holy Spirit is clear, and we find it in three passages, and there's more, but these are three. Verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:8. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. In these three passages that we just read, we can see that there are specific ways that the Holy Spirit partners with us in prayer. One is he stirs us up to pray. The Holy Spirit will stir you to be spiritual. How many of you know our greatest battles that we face are not physical, financial, friends, or relationships? Our greatest battle that we face is spiritual. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realm. Prayer is an offensive weapon in the armory of God. And that's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. There are times when the Holy Spirit wants to stir us so that we will stand in the gap for someone to battle in prayer. We need to keep the mind of God, though, when we pray, and that comes through the Holy Spirit. Not only does he want to stir us, the Holy Spirit will strengthen us. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Three vital ways the Lord helps us. He helps us, he strengthens us by energizing us. Romans 8:11 says, and if the Spirit, listen to this, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This isn't simply a promise of life after you die. This is a promise of an overcoming life while we live. Let me ask a question. How is it that Jesus could pray through the night when his disciples couldn't tarry 1 hour? Jesus gave us the answer. He said, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus himself tells us it is through the power of the Spirit. On their own, the disciples didn't have the energy, the physical capacity to pray that length, to stay in the battle, and neither do we by ourselves. But there is an energy, there is a power that comes from the Holy Spirit, giving us the strength to stand and to pray. And each of us must use our prayer language, not just being filled with the Holy Spirit, but on a daily basis. The Bible says that we were outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. I don't want to live on my 8-year-old experience at an altar with God. Say, God, come, fill my life, forgive me of my sin, and that's it. Oh, I walked from that day till I was 14. At 14 years old, I'd been praying at church. God, fill me, use me. And all those prayers. One day I was at home. We lived in a trailer at that point. And I remember my brother came over, and we were there, and there was something that came up, and we needed to pray about it. So the family got together, and all of a sudden we began to pray, and all of a sudden out of my mouth began to gush a language. I wasn't even asking for it at that point. But the Holy Spirit knew my willingness at that point and wanted to pour out the mind of God. And then from that day forward, I walked. But I don't want to live on that experience. I don't want to live on that experience. I want to live today. I want Him to renew me today. I want the Spirit of God alive in me today. I want to pray in His name. I want to pray His way. I want to use that prayer language that He's given. I pray in the car that way. I pray in the shower that way. I pray sometimes publicly. I guard it because I don't want to confuse people. Sometimes in this position, in a corporate setting, the Bible talks about when there's a tongue, there's to be an interpretation. So I'd be careful in these roles because of the role. But folks, you need to know this pastor prays in another tongue. And one, I don't know. But I believe I am praying the things of God. I believe that I am now loosing heaven's plan on earth. And binding these things to heaven's plan. Holy Spirit will also enlighten us. He helps us in our weaknesses when we don't know what we ought to pray for. The Holy Spirit will shape your prayer. The Holy Spirit works together with us. The Holy Spirit, in fact, does the work of God. He doesn't do it apart from us. He does it with us. It is a partnership with God. And the Holy Spirit, where He enables my human spirit to pray. When I begin to pray, I can pray those inexpressible, unspeakable, indefinable desires that I'm uncertain of. But the Holy Spirit will take them to the throne of God, and He'll find the mind of God. Paul asked a great question toward the end of the book of Acts. He arrived at a city where the gospel had been shared. It happened many days in Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Paul asked them and said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." It goes on in verse 6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Why wouldn't we want the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I do not want to be a church that has a form of godliness but has denied the power. Church, I want us to be what God wants us to be. I'm not asking you to become something you are not. I'm asking you to go after God with all your heart. Go after Him with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's how we're to worship Him. That's how we're to commune with Him. And folks, I want us to be witnesses. Why? Acts 2:39. Peter in that message says this: the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Church, we are called to be witnesses. You don't have to go and convict anybody. You just witness. You just tell of what He's done in your life. And also we're called to be filled. The Holy Spirit wants to fill the church. Church, it's so easy in this day to begin to backpedal because we don't like sin and we're afraid of the supernatural. Let me tell you what, The world out there right now is looking for the supernatural. The church, I'm telling you, we have the supernatural through God. And you want to see people change. You begin to pray for healings again. You begin to pray in faith again. You begin to lift your voice to God. And that's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, I don't know what to pray. That's why I ask for the Holy Spirit to pray through me, to use me, so I will have the heart and the mind of God. And lastly, we need to keep the relationship alive. Folks, I love God. I love His grace. I love His mercy. Would you go ahead and come? I love to preach about His grace. I love to preach about love. But church, as I've told you before, I want you to know the whole truth. All you need to do is, some say, well, I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know if I understand that. All I need to ask you to do is, would you really read the Word of God and then really ask God? And I believe if you begin to seek God with your whole heart, I'm telling you, God will come and He'll meet you. Does He meet everybody the exact same way? May not. Paul says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. I wish you all did. I wish we had that kind of powerful lifestyle. Because no matter, it would be amazing what God could do. But church, I need to tell you the truth. I don't want to be a church without power. I don't want to have the form of the Word and not be living it. And church, I say this cautiously. If it isn't real, if tongues is not of God, and people say it's of the devil, I'm going to let you know today, you have been a part of my ministry. Folks, you tell me a few minutes ago when we were worshiping in this place, if that wasn't the presence of God. I don't know what it takes for you to know where God moves and where He broods and where He wants to move in your life. But I tell you what it happens when people go after Him, when they seek His face. I don't know. I believe it's real. Why? Because I believe it's in the Bible. I believe the Bible is true. I believe it's my final authority. And it says, pray in the Spirit. It says, be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said, I want you to go and be baptized. We're talking here. But you hear what John said? There's a baptism of fire that He's bringing. And that's why He said, if I go away, I will sin. Who's sending it? Jesus. See, I want everything about the gospel. I love the cross. But there is a resurrection. And there is an endowment of power to do the will of God. I don't know where you're at in your relationship. I'll tell you, this is a final story, and then we're just going to open the altars. It was about 13, 14 years ago. It was in Canada. Right before we came back. And I mean, I've been in this walk for however many years at that point. About 30 years old. About 29, 30. But I get to pray and say, God, I believe this, and I've had this tongue, but Lord, it's sounding repetitious to me. It's just, is it real? You know, is it real? And I just found myself needing to get to a place and say, God, would you give me a new language? God, would you do it afresh in my life? And ever since that day, He did, that night, all of a sudden, just new syllables began to flow out of my mouth. And then from that day forward, I have tried to keep that relationship fresh because I don't want to repeat syllables. Though God may do that, and He did in my life for a long time, but I got more serious. I wanted more. I want more. Why? Because I don't want to be super spiritual. I just want God to have His way. Guys, I'm not above you. I'm not anything great. I just want to love God with all my heart. So church, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if it was 40 years ago that you were filled. Maybe 4 days ago. I remember right over here, sitting right over there, one that was filled with the Holy Spirit right here in our sanctuary about a year ago or so. Because she was worshiping and she was saying, Lord, I'll pray when I get home about it. And she decided, no, not then, and began to let it flow. Folks, I want you to seek the Lord. Now, biblically, there's a couple of different ways this happened. Some laid hands on them and they received. Others, they were just preaching and all of a sudden everybody got filled. Day of Pentecost was that way. And other times, I don't want to use a method. I don't want to come up here and I've been in the services where people were, you know, telling you to try to get it. And all, I don't know, how many remember the old, I'm not against all, dear saints, I mean, thank you. But at the same time, it is not about a method. It is about the message of God. And His message is He wants you to have power to be a witness. So this morning, our closing is simply you coming and finding God, seeking God, going after God. So I invite you, fill these altars. I'll walk around. I'll pray with you. But I want God to do something. Why, church? We have some business to do. We are not done. God is not done with this church. It may be 65 years old, but it's still breathing and got a lot of life in it. Church is alive, church. Let's be everything He's called us to be.